Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network on a fabulous Tuesday evening. It has begun, ladies and gentlemen, the 2024 version of your boys' spring tour all across the state of Georgia. Stop number one today, this afternoon, Jonesboro High School. It was a good time, man. The pads weren't popping yet. I think we were going to get some pads popping tomorrow, but it was mat drill time. It often coincides with spring practice. Hey, get you nice and conditioned. Make sure you're nice and in ready area, as close as we can get you in football shape before we put the pads on. But got a chance to see Jonesboro High School today. They were at one point a top 10 ranked team in the 6A last year here in the state of Georgia, and finished, I think it was somewhere in that like quarterfinal round in 6A playoffs this past year. So a really good roster with a handful of Power 5 offer caliber football players. I left with impressions of two players I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But when I go out on the trail and I find coaches' staffs and I find things I want to talk about that make me passionate about the game of football, I oftentimes bring them to you. So bear with me the next 3 weeks when we talk about this. Your boy might get really nerdy and maybe even sentimental about the game of football. It's why I do what I do during this time of the year. But anyways, every time as a football player growing up, I heard that we were in the gym. Like, I always was like, ooh, boy, we got it easy today, okay? Worst thing they can do to me is, like, make me do an outrageous amount of lunges. However, Jonesboro High School today, and I told their coach this, Jonesboro High School today was, I ain't gonna say trying to kill them boys, but Jonesboro High School made sure that was the suck today during those mat drills, okay? They specifically, oftentimes during these indoor mat drill circuits, you have like two tough drills, an easy one, a tough drill, an easy one. This was like four stations in a row of pure suck in hell, and then two like weight rooms that we didn't get to see. I didn't get to see, I didn't even go in them. They had the doors locked. You know, I would imagine maybe not, the AC was even probably turned off in them joints. It was nice and tough for those young men today. They ran a tight ship, and they operate like that, and they will win football games like that this fall out there at Jonesboro High School. Two names I want to bring to you that were available in practicing today. Another one that we might mention here in a second that's got some Georgia interest and some real big Power 4 interest, as does Jamar Owens, a defensive back that I tweeted out today, guys. About 6'1", maybe 6'1 and a half. If you told me he measured in at 6'2 this summer, I wouldn't be surprised. But it is a very big summer for Jamar Owens. We're talking about him in April, and none of you probably know his name unless you're some diehard Georgia Tech fan and you study the offers that they've recently made. But Jamar is one of these guys that's getting a bunch of calls saying, hey, we need you to come camp. And he gonna camp well, okay, based off what I saw today in terms of movement skills. A lot of teams asking about top-end speed, one of those schools being Georgia. So Jamar Owens, a name out of Jonesboro High School to be paying attention to. And a football player that I was really, really intrigued by today, guys. And I'm going to show you some of the footage after the show that's on the camera roll. Jeremiah Tickett, a defensive tackle out of Alaska. Boys.
Ooh,
Alaska.
They play football up there?
They do play. Well, I don't know if they played football up there. He was playing hoops up there. He's about 6'3", about 275 pounds.
Good Lord.
Has made and plays on the Jonesboro High School team, despite being what I don't want to mislabel him. I would imagine he's some type of, I think he's Samoan from Alaska. And he's only been playing football for about 2 years. And I think his biggest offer right now is Cincinnati. You just wait. You just wait until this spring when teams get around this guy. Because, again, I'm going to show you some of the lateral agility of this big joker. I'm interested maybe to pop on the tape if we've got time, even though it is an absolutely slap-loaded show. But the most important observation and the most important conversation perhaps that I had today on the trail, okay, was with the Jonesboro High School coaching staff. And it revolves around food. Ooh. And as a lifelong larger man, I resonate with some food conversations, particularly around football coaches. They know some food. Did you know that McDonald's was out here serving steak sandwiches?
No, I did not know this.
No, I didn't know that.
This was news to me as well. And I don't know how you are, but I am, like, when I go through McDonald's, I am a sausage and cheese McGriddle guy. I love a McGriddle. I love a sausage McGriddle. The idea was proposed to me today that McDonald's has a steak and cheese McGriddle that is available. My first thought was, is it like country fried steak? No. This is legitimate steak. Like, this is steak from McDonald's that they are serving through the drive through. And here's the thing. Apparently, this is like life-changing smack. Like, this is some stuff that is outrageously good. So much so that the Jonesboro staff is like, return customers every morning at the local McDonald's. We'll see you tomorrow type shit going on at Jonesboro's local McDonald's with the staff. So I am going to try it out tomorrow. And I am you know, excited about it. There's options to put it on bagels, all kinds of good stuff. You look very intrigued by this
proposition. Is it like a new menu item thing, or is it like a secret menu?
This has to be new to me. I've never heard of this. I've never even seen it advertised. I've never seen it on the menu. This idea that they're out here serving legitimate steak at a McDonald's, it's news to me. This is much so news to me.
Well, when you texted it, the first thing I did was Google it, because I was like, steak McGriddle? I have never even heard of this. I had to make sure it was actually real, because I was very intrigued by it as well.
That's also, yeah, I don't... McDonald's steak, like... Waffle House steak at like 2 a.m. is about as close as
so
I'll go to that.
This was my conversation with the coach staff. It's like, what does that say about me and my dietary habits, where I'm like, you know what? I'll eat a pork sausage like patty that they've unfroze and unthawed from the fridge, but I'm going to throw up some caution flags around some steak from McDonald's? Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
fair.
So that was kind of what does that say about me and my palate, where I'm judging the quality of the steak, but I'm going to put some straight up pork sausage in my throat?
I guess you just kind of accept.
Sorry. That's all me, bro. Go ahead.
Did you just set that up on purpose?
No, I didn't. I'm not that smart. God.
I guess the thing for me is, like, steak is steak. Like, you kind of accept that you don't really know what you're eating when you eat, like, a sausage or a hot dog.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
You expect high quality? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like steak is, like, one of the upper echelons of meat. So, to say it's coming from McDonald's is kind of like, all right.
All right, so that's a solid 8 minutes of non-college football content that I'm sure has everyone hooked. We'll check the retention stats on this.
Maybe, someone's going to complain in the chat.
Maybe we move the thoughts from the trail to the back end of the show. Nonetheless, the boys are running the show today, so welcome in. We do indeed have a loaded show. This is the quality of the notes that your boy has taken today. The producers will be running and steering the show today, playing point guard over there. We'll see how they share the football. But nonetheless, welcome into tonight's show. We do indeed have a loaded one for you. We're going to get into a college football draft of sorts. Okay, it is NFL draft week. A lot going on there. We're going to draft a coach, an OC, a quarterback, a defensive unit, and an X factor. Ooh, that says player. I'm just seeing that. I want a totally different route, but I think it's going to work out. Hey, a lot of Notre Dame hype with a recent article on ESPN.com. The Pac-12 has officially been nixed and killed. Their remaining two members kind of got the fork today. A Miller Moss article has arisen. Some Miller Moss hype, some non-anti Miller Moss deep state going on, some Miller Moss, shall we call, propaganda going on out here. John Lynch had a comment about name, image, and likeness that we thought worthy of bringing to you. And of course, last night we talked about Caleb Williams. There are some more even crazier quotes coming out from NFL sources and NFL scouts from recent quotes. So we're going to bring you those today as well. But welcome in. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, like, subscribe, rate, and review, all that good stuff. If you're missing any portion of tonight's broadcast, you can find it and will find it. However, wherever you catch your podcast, just search the Film Guy Network. Make sure you leave a review over there. Fire off in that chat, all those good stuff. I see Miller Mass, a good little quarterback pun right there going on. Grayson Lamb squirts is a little bit much for me, bro.
Yeah, I don't
holy
know what that
crap
is. That's not food related.
No, that's not food related at all. Hey, might end up after a McDonald's breakfast steak sandwich. You might find out. Hey, Smooth transition right into our premier sponsor. Shout out to Prize Picks. Okay. If you haven't already, head over to prizepicks.com. Use promo code Brooks today. You get 100% deposit match. What does that mean? You put up to $100, you will instantly get matched in your account right then and there with another $100. It is indeed Taco Tuesday, and there are some late West Coast NBA hoops games to be getting in on. Okay. So if you haven't gotten your action in, make sure you do that today. Prizepicks.com, promo code Brooks. Do we want to start with this mini draft? I like this little segment. Which one of you brilliant producers brought this to our attention today? Is you?
I figured draft's going to be Thursday. We're going to be doing content for that. So why not, before the draft, have our own draft where you draft college football players? So the requirements I had for it were you get to pick one coach, one offensive coordinator, one quarterback, a defensive unit, and one X-factor player. That can be whoever you want. That's just kind of your difference maker guy. Now, obviously, it's a draft, so if someone picks a certain player, say Jay Will picks Carson Beck, like Carson Beck's off the board, and he's got his quarterback now. So I didn't think about the order of that, though. So, but since you're the host and you've had the least time to prepare about this, I'll say you can go first.
Me?
Yeah, you get to go first.
You get first pick.
I get first pick?
Who you taking?
All right. Oh, it's a real homer pick. Just give me Kirby Smart off rip.
There.
I think there's a reasonable drop off from one to whoever you think is two. I would have had a much harder decision picking a second coach here than any other coach. My list was literally like maybe swing around late and pick up like Eli Drinkowitz, honestly. Like the fall off from one to two in this discussion for me is a little bit drastic because, you know, Harbaugh's gone. Ryan Day, still some questions there, obviously. All great coaches. And then, you know, like Dabo Swinney in 2024, don't feel great about it. Like, who's the next great college football coach? Like, truly great year in, year out, might win a title? I don't know.
It's valid.
Am I up next?
Go ahead, J-Will.
All right. I think I'm going to – who do I want
to
take
By the way, don't know why my brain immediately went to Eli Drinkowitz. I don't feel good about that. I really don't. I don't feel good about that. But here I am.
So I don't know if this goes against the rules or not, but for my OC, I'm taking Lane Kiffin. He's going to be my
offense. That definitely goes against the rules.
Goes against the rules, really?
I think you can have it. I think
it's a draft,
I mean,
though.
Shit, in that case, give me Kalen DeBoer at the OC. Like, what are we doing?
Bro, what?
He's got to be an OC. Do your research.
Oh, my gosh. Then I guess I'm going to – I'll take Jackson Dart as my quarterback.
I just blew up his board.
Jeez. Yeah, you actually really did, to be honest.
All right, well, just take Kiffin. But moving forward,
okay. Tell you what,
Like best case scenario, give me Billy Napier. Just got fired. I'm gonna pick him up to be my OC. Like that is where the mythical situations I will reside. But like,
okay,
easy.
Well, anyways, I'll take Jackson Dart then as my quarterback for my first overall pick.
Okay,
I'll take that one.
Took Jackson Dart for your first QB. I'm going to go.
Look, I'm having to maneuver around a little bit. I wasn't familiar with the rules. Wasn't
trade,
familiar
a trade
with the
just
game.
Happened right in front
yeah,
of
me. Yeah, you know.
That's fine with
me. We're going to be all right.
Owner just came in and said we have to draft the quarterback.
Yeah.
Is Carson still on the board?
Carson Beck is still on the board. I'm going to take Carson Beck.
Board got blown up, man.
It's all good.
I'm going to take Carson Beck for
my QB1.
So you've got your coach. You need someone else then.
All right. So I think I got a sneaky advantage here. I like my ideal situation already working itself out. And guess what? I know my fifth pick. I know it's going to be there. I'm going to have to figure out the X factor so I don't really blow up everybody's board and system because I didn't read player. So I have like an X factor that is not like directly roster related. So we're going to have to figure that out when we get there. But anyways, long story short, I'm taking Dylan Gabriel as my quarterback here with my second overall selection.
Ooh, I like that.
I think
Dylan
Gabriel is going to rack it up. I also think Dylan Gabriel is a tremendous college quarterback. I don't know what it's going to work out like. I don't know what it's going to look like on the pro level. But I got 1 year college football, put a good surrounding system around him. Dylan Gabriel is going to go off. I feel good about that.
Everyone's got their quarterback now.
Everyone's got their cue.
I'm going to go ahead and snag my defensive unit, and I'm going to take Ohio State's defense.
Ooh,
I'm going to take that one. Get that one off the board. Go ahead and seal that one up. Thought I might wait another round for it, but didn't want to risk it. So, yeah, give me Ohio State's defense.
A little best player available strategy there for you. I like that.
I'm going to go ahead and take my OC. I want Buster Faulkner.
Okay.
Ooh.
I thought about this one. I definitely did. This was a high-value draft pick. In the OC department, I think he's going to skip the big time, like even bigger job OC job. And he's going to go straight to maybe a Power Four head coaching job within the next 24 months.
That's what I think. So, I mean, it's definitely not a time constraint pick, but get him while you can. So, for this year, I'm taking Buster Faulkner.
Who's next? Me?
Yep.
Yeah, you're up.
So, my third pick was going to be Ohio State's defense. But you left it there for me. It was my number one defense on the board. Give me Georgia. We'll take Georgia's defensive unit here. So far I have, oh my God, I know my fifth pick too. So it's going to be like super Georgia heavy here. I got Kirby so far as the head coach. Hey, honey. I got Dylan Gabriel as the quarterback. And I got Georgia's defense. I like what I got going on. I got some continuity. Yeah. I got the guy who invented the defense and the keys to when the system running the show. I like that.
Mm. Okay.
Dylan Gabriel Iglesias? Golly.
That's not food related, but that is good.
That is good. It's not food fluffy. Related, but it is fat related. And I think that's the category.
It's fluffy related.
No, yeah, well, no, it's fat related.
He's not fat, he's fluffy.
You're right. You're right, I guess. But, you know, the world would probably... Yeah, fluffy. We'll go with that.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and... who do I have? Okay, I need my head coach still. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get Kyle Whittingham as my head coach.
Interesting.
I'm going to take that one. Because, you know, I'm trying to go... Like, I get to pick my OC. I got to make sure I get some defensively strong-minded head coaches. I'm going to go ahead and get Kyle Whittingham locked it up. Familiar with the Utes and the defense out there. So, I'm going to lock that one down to make sure I get all facets of my game for my program.
I like it.
All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and then take my X factor. I want Caleb Downs.
Okay.
I feel like that's a fit.
So that means I lose Caleb Downs off of my defense?
No.
No, we just clone Caleb Downs.
Yeah, you have two Caleb. It's
fair
it's,
enough.
It's
that means right. Both of you have to pick up the payroll, though. So
that's tough. You're up.
Any more analysis on your Caleb Downs selection?
I think he's one of the players that can surprise you with the fact that what?
Oh, no, go ahead. You're good.
Just the fact that he can do so much, and as he's on my team, he's damn sure going to be returning kicks. He's going to have some offensive packages in there. He's obviously going to be playing safety, controlling our defense, being the field general. So just a real X-factor player.
So what I believe Ohio State to be doing now with him, anyways, I think they're going to do that in terms of what you just laid out. That leaves me my fourth pick overall, which is still available because it was an X factor. I was going to take LSU's home field advantage as an X factor, but a player is Travis Hunter, and he's still on the board, so I'm going to go him.
That's a good safe pick. Yeah, can't go wrong with that one. My OC... Since my other one got doxed.
My bad, bro.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. It's a very valid explanation of why I can't do that. I'll go Chip Kelly. I think that's
hell
a really
yeah,
solid
that's a
one.
Good pick.
Bring him back, baby. He's got some head coaching experience as well, so I think it's going to be a solidified unit with him and Whittingham running the ship out there. So, yeah, I'm taking Chip Kelly.
It's published. I think my defense... Because, I mean, head coaches are still available, so I can take whatever defense I want. I'm going to go with Penn State's defense.
Okay.
I feel like they've always got some solid players on there, pretty underrated defense, and there's really no one else on the board I can think of that's truly got an elite defense.
You know, maybe Clemson, depending on how you feel about their second group. You know, they're not as deep as some of these units.
They're not deep enough for me.
Could Ole Miss play, like on paper, Ole Miss looks like one of these teams. They just have good quality, you know, football players at every level. Most of which they brought in through the transfer portal. But
is it a little wrong to kind of compare them a little bit to what Florida State felt like a little bit last year? Now, I know like hindsight is
not a bad comp.
There's hindsight with Florida State. Like going into last year, we didn't exactly have this type of clarity that we feel like we have about Ole Miss, but just kind of how that roster is built and you have a lot of veteran players, like it kind of feels like a 1 year shot.
The only thing I would say is I felt like Florida State's, you know, run was the year two with those retreads.
Yeah.
Right? It was Fisk's second year there. That was versus second year there, right? That was down the quarterback's like third year in the system. They had been there a while. So this feels like like chips all in approach right now with Ole Miss, where it was more of like a semi long play. And if you look at Florida State, and I don't know if Norvell gets enough credit like in this sense, he took guys from small schools that they saw value in. You know what I mean? Like, no one, I don't think people were knocking down the door for Braden Fisk. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Keon Coleman's a different discussion. That guy had O's everywhere when he hit the portal for Michigan State. Everybody wanted him. But, like, the verse kid coming from, wasn't it Albany? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a small school cat that, like, nobody was really paying attention to. So, I don't know if Norvell got enough credit for all of that. Whereas, like, Ole Miss is like, yeah, you paid for Walter Nolan. Okay. That does that speak about your ability to develop or your eyesight for talent? No, that speaks more about your ability to get high quality, you know, talent into your building. Who are we at? Who's up next?
You're up.
All right, so this is my fifth and final pick.
Yeah, you need an OC, I believe.
Yeah, give me Bobo. Nice and easy.
Big Georgia.
Yeah, and here's why. Continuity wins. Like, I think I would have picked, and I think Bobo's a reasonable answer for this period because no matter what, moving forward, however long he chooses to coach at Georgia, he's going to have better ingredients than anybody in the sport.
That's fair.
Better ingredients than anybody in the sport. And I don't know about you guys, but point to me the year where Mike Bobo failed to put up 35 points per game when he had a top five offensive roster. Matter of fact, when he has a top five offensive roster, which is like never happened, maybe last year, puts up a top five like offense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Mike Bubba was certainly a solid choice for that.
Now, I had other options, right? You took Chip Kelly. Nobody picked Ludwig out of Utah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's – if I was going to go non-Homer crowd, I would have gone there. But, you know, playing to the audience.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a little bit. I think I'm the smartest person in the room for my last pick for my X-Factor player. And I'm going Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State. He had 1,347 rushing yards, nearly 600 receiving yards, 19 touchdowns, and averaged 7.3 yards per play. A little Swiss Army knife action in the backfield with Jackson Dart and Chip Kelly. I like my odds there.
I almost took Barrett Carter as an X factor.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so my final pick, I need a head coach. Just give me Dan Lanning. I think that's
he's got some good ones left.
He's the next up and coming coach. I mean, Dan Lanning was on the board. Ryan Day, a lot of solid coaches.
I'm so embarrassed. Drink came to my mind before Dan Lanning. That's how you know my schedule was busy today. I was just off my rocker.
Yeah, when you said that, I was kind of like, you know, Dan Lanning.
You know, I thought maybe we were gonna go like, you know, Dan Drink's. If we're picking against 32 other teams. First round draft pick at the coach position.
And I didn't. So yeah, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to.
But we probably should have.
No, you probably should have.
That was a bad job on us by not pushing back.
You know,
no, we shouldn't have pushed back because how we said that and then oh yeah, I wanted to pick Dan Lanning instead. It'd been fun if you picked Eli Drinkwitz.
Well, you guys made it easy. I just took Kirby right off the bat. You gave me 1-1. Had you gave me, you know, come back round two or maybe like fifth overall pick like if I was in your shoes, I would have been made to look like a real dummy. Honestly, I should have just saved the inner idiot thought that Eli Drinkwitz needs to be in the discussion of essentially a top three head coach.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. You know, that kind of thing.
Who is your OC?
Chip Kelly.
Ah, that's right.
All right, y'all are driving the show. Where are we going next?
Just to summarize it really quick, your team, Brooks, is Kirby Smart, the head coach, Dylan Gabriel's quarterback, Georgia's defense, Mike Bobo, and then Travis Hunter's your X-Factor, Will, Kyle Whittingham's your coach, Jackson Dart's your quarterback. You have Ohio State's defense, Chip Kelly's your OC, and then Ashton Jeanty is your X-Factor. For me, Dan Lanning is my coach, Carson Beck's a quarterback, Penn State's defense, Buster Faulkner, and then Caleb Downs is my X-Factor. Which team are you taking there?
Oh, mine.
I gotta be honest. I like my team.
Honestly, didn't listen. I was reading the chat. you look on your face. I'm so sorry. Too much caffeine. Too many random thoughts. I wanted to make sure he was here in the chat before I gave him the shout out in the opening rant. I want to give a shout out to our boy Jamal. Jamal pulled up on me today at Jonesboro High School, and I'm not going to say I encouraged this, but my schedule is pretty well known. I'll be at Woodward tomorrow. If you want to come say what's up, watch some good football. Woodward's got like 12 Division I football players that I, you know, am aware of. So we're going to be watching that one really, really closely. And like I said, I think the pads are going to pop out there tomorrow. So by the way, if you got a contact for a Woodward coach, hit me up. I might have to text Jeremy about that right now. But yeah, it's gonna be a good time. Shout out to Jamal, pulled up with the kiddos, said what's up. It was a good little time. So shout out to him. Shout out to all you guys for being here tonight. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Where are we going next, boys?
You're talking about 12 kids that you said have the D1 potential there at Woodward. There's a 12 in the college football that is no longer 12. Pac-12 is officially stripped of. How do you pronounce that, dude? Because I always mess it up.
What's that?
Autonomy?
Yeah.
Autonomy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been officially stripped of that, which means they're not recognized as a conference anymore. I mean, no one truly treated them as such just because there's two teams in there now. But moving forward, it kind of leaves Oregon State and Washington State on an island, which means they're going to play teams from the Mountain West and West Coast conferences. But here's the thing. They aren't recognized as either members of either conference. So they could go 12-0 in the regular season, and they will not play in a conference championship, which is essentially now I don't think they had playoff aspirations, but that really puts it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is like, could they, I mean, they could still be recognized as a potential playoff team though. Like
they could.
They could.
I think, but I think they're going to, what it basically means now is they're going to get the quote group of five treatment.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
but that's what, that's where I was going to go with this is that like, would they take up a group? They wouldn't take up a group of five spot though. So then like, I don't know. That's interesting to me.
I think they would.
They would.
Are they classified as group of five now?
They're not classified as a power four.
Well, here's the thing though. They're not going to get, they wouldn't get the auto bid for group of five because they're not in a conference.
Yeah.
They're just floating around right now. So it would have to be, they get one of the other add-ons where the committee says, okay, we want this team here. It doesn't matter what conference, doesn't matter what your relegation is. Now, obviously this is all hypothetical. I don't think Washington State or Oregon State are going to be playoff teams, but it is interesting. The article also did say that both teams are actively looking for a conference to join that is autonomous. So we might see more conference realignment where maybe the Big 12 adds two more teams or...
They're not Big 10. No offense to Wazoo or Oregon State, but there's a reason they got left out. They're not Big 10 quality. The ACC has no interest in any team that far West Coast except for Stanford and Cal, which was really weird.
And Notre Dame, maybe.
But they're East Coast. That make no sense for Stanford and Cal right now to be in the ACC. Zero. So that one was really, really weird. But nonetheless, the conference realignment discussion is really, really weird. I think these two football teams fit way more into the Big 12 discussion. I would honestly say maybe the Big 12 even turns their nose up to this and they get kind of stuck with the Mountain West, which they would run the Mountain West. But that's kind of, there's casualties every single time conference realignment happens like this. If you look through the history of college football, mm-hmm. somebody gets the shit into the stick. It was Colorado in the 90s, I'm pretty sure,
yeah.
where they were in a major conference and they got pushed out and things like that. So this happens all the time. Not all the time. It happens every two or three decades, but it sucks for those who get crushed. And I think these are going to be casualties of this.
Yeah.
By the way, whatever happened, like if the ACC were to ever split up, there are going to be some casualties in that one.
Yeah. For sure. You think Wake Forest is going to have a
yeah. Like, I mean, if the SEC and the Big Ten swallow the sport, like there are going to be some casualties out here with regards to who's in the power conferences or who's, you know, an auto bid type football team. So
I just hope it doesn't impact the Wazoo flag being at the college game day set every year. Hopefully they stay strong with that tradition.
Maybe that's Crimson. The boycott that will work.
Ooh, that is an effect. Like, he's been to what, like 700 consecutive game days?
Something insane. I think I saw something where they now like basically help him travel every time to like the different sets they go to and the different destinations and whatnot.
Respect.
I think that Oregon State definitely has a place somewhere in college football. I think that would be the one that hurts the most to see them go because, I mean, Jonathan Smith had them playing some pretty decent football. I think he was utilizing the transfer portal in all the right ways to at least have that program doing something recognizable. You can say it was in the Pac-12 or not, but I mean, they were at least kind of in that competitive tier for them. So I would hate to see them go. But yeah, I mean, casualties are inevitable when you're having this much change going on and this many conferences just kind of switching things up quite a bit.
And they're not really an NIL team that has the ability to to bolster a roster, but NIL is having an effect on the NFL draft right now. And
those are, I know where you're going. You're working transitions tonight. I see you working.
I'm trying.
You're efforting. A little heavy-handed on that one.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, you're working. That's what I'm saying. I notice what you're doing. I'm complimenting what you're doing while coaching what you're doing. And not to say that this is the end-all, be-all, but like, Oregon State and Wazoo don't have, I could be wrong, but they don't have national contending programs in any of the other revenue sports either.
Oregon State's baseball program was decent.
It's decent for a little while.
They had some.
They had a run.
Yeah,
they won the World Series like two or three years ago, didn't they?
They had like the top MLB prospect, I believe, at one point, a catcher. I can't remember his name right now, but I mean,
a spurt.
Yeah. It's not like Oregon State's consistently competitive in basketball. They're kind of like every 5 years maybe in college football for the last 15 years. And then, I can't even tell you about any of the other sports. So
yeah, they won the World Series in 2018.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, shit, that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, so maybe not even that recent as we remember.
God, dude, I'm old.
That's old to you, huh?
I mean, six years ago.
That's what makes you think that you're old as Oregon State's.
No, but 2018 was 6 years ago, dude. Like,
whatever.
There's kids that are in elementary school right now that weren't even born at that time. Okay. Ugh, that's disgusting.
Where are you transitioning next?
I was talking about this NFL and NIL draft impact where John Lynch was talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys printed this article out for me and put it on the desk today. I also read it while I was in traffic today. Not texting and driving, Mom. Not on my phone. I was in traffic, so I was sitting still, you know, 75, 285, all that good nonsense.
How fast you were going?
Yeah, something like that. quote, this is from John Lynch in his NFL draft press conference. I was just looking at my notes, and like one interesting thing to me, dynamic in the way of the world right now, we put a grade on all players in the fall if we think there's more than a 50% chance that they're going to be in this draft. So 83 players from this year's class that we put grades on return to school. So thinking there's more than a 50% chance, thinking they're entering the draft, are back in college because of NIL and things like that. There's now a different route these kids can take, and 35 of those are with starter grades. So that's a significant amount, and how that affects this draft is going to be interesting. Now, the COVID senior years like add on to this, right? Georgia has three of these right now. Ohio State has a couple of these as well. This was not just this draft. It's really impacting this draft. This impacted last draft, you would imagine as well. But, you know, 35 guys with like draftable serious grades. Like I said, Georgia has three of them, you know, that were, you know, super seniors that decided to come back that were had draftable grades. Guys like Nazir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson, Xavier Truss. You look at Ohio State's roster, JT Tuimoloa, we've talked multiple times, NFL draft grade. They got a safety with a draftable grade. They had Jack Sawyer with a draftable grade, right? This is a repetitive theme that we're finding in college football, both because NIL is allowed and additional years of eligibility have created this.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this kind of yesterday where teams are kind of viewing the experience you have differently. Like first-round quarterbacks back in the day was like, oh, he's 24. He's already kind of old. He's already kind of getting up there. Now it's like if you don't have 3 or 4 years of experience in the college level, we don't really want you. So it is interesting. 25 just years. 25 games is what Brick says. So stuff like that is very interesting.
Well, I mean, too, like Quinn Ewers is probably the most notable example of this from this last year's class. But at the same time, probably doesn't impact the draft a whole lot this year because it is quite a loaded QB class. They're going to come off the board really hot. So probably a good decision by Quinn Ewers to remain and stay put at Texas. But it is interesting just to think about, like, I mean, 35 players on your board and then having to X all of them out. I mean, that's now 35 more players that you're trying to find on your board. And, I mean, these decisions are announced in December, so that's 4 months now that you have to find 35 new players to put on your board and find, like, equivalent draft grades is what you'd hope. If you find a starter grade on those 35 players, you're now having to sift through all the players again and try and find what you think is 35 starters in this year's draft.
Yeah, it's got to have some effect on the quality of your analysis just because you feel like you're having to rush things so much where you don't get to do as deep of a dive now because, well, we've had this guy on our board for so long, but he's not coming to the draft anymore. So
what now?
What part did you not hear?
The who's not coming to the draft?
Just like guys that have basically opted to take their
extra super team. Someone's like not showing up to the draft. I'm like, a GM not showing up to the draft. That's crazy. What I was thinking more about was just like, you know, the eligibility thing is one thing. The NIL thing is it that comparable? You know, like if you're a starter in college football, in Power 5 football at a major school, let's say you're making $150,000. You're a seventh round draft pick. You get that in a signing bonus plus a salary, do you not?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously impacted. It's something, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would imagine they have about maybe 300, 400 guys that they have draftable grades on, yep. Right? 7 rounds times 32 is 270, 210,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Roughly 240. So you probably have 300 guys you have draftable grades on. You're losing a tenth of that to this.
Yeah.
That's a lot to be flipping over, like you said, in 4 months.
And that's why I kind of had some questions about, like, it's hard for me to believe that NIL is swaying decisions like this that much, especially for football. Like other sports like basketball where there's only 2 rounds, it kind of makes sense that, oh, I want to play all 6 years if I can, or 5 years in basketball. I mean, we see it all the time in women's basketball right now too, because we know the situation with the WNBA. I mean, those types of sports, it makes sense. But football, I was kind of interested, like, wow, I guess I really didn't think that it would be that comparable, you know?
Yeah.
All right. This Notre Dame hype, did we already talk about?
No, we haven't.
Let's talk about this Notre Dame story. So I saw a headline today that said Notre Dame shaping up for college football playoff home game. That was the headline article on ESPN. And then you open up the article, you know, sometimes there's like thumbnails, thumbnail titles, and then you open up the article and there's like a real like main headline title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The main headline title removed the home playoff game portion of it. However, the article goes on to talk about how Notre Dame is primed, you know, to make a run this year. So I just throw it out there to you guys. The idea that Notre Dame is, you know, maybe one of these shoe-ins or a potential for a top four. That's a top four eval going into this year's playoff run.
I feel like for the last, ever since honestly I've started watching college football, which like we're really paying attention
to. You're doing hype train?
Yeah, which is like the 2008 season. I feel like Notre Dame has always been the, hey, watch out. This team could be good this year. They're primed for this. They have X. They have Y. They have the quarterback they need. They followed the same formula my entire life, and they've always seemed to fall short. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things now at this point where, yeah, this might be the year. You might be right. They might have all the indicators that, hey, this is a playoff team, but the reality is until you show us, I'm not going to buy into it.
Now, I will say, like, the schedule is moderately set up for them to make a playoff push. I mean, the notable games they have on the schedule is they open up with Texas A&M, and then they have Louisville on the schedule 4 weeks later, Georgia Tech, Florida State, and then they close out with Army and then Southern and then USC. So, like, some
– very winnable. That's 13-0-y.
Yeah, like, it very easily
well could be.
Absolutely, I agree with that. But the only thing too is that like offensive output is obviously the biggest question for me. And I know that you were asking about wide receiver stats for me. That's what you kind of wanted to know for Notre Dame this season. So yeah. I went and dug those up, and this is what I found. So Notre Dame returns Jaden Thomas and Jaden Greathouse, who combined for 575 yards and 7 touchdowns on 49 receptions. That's two of the more notable guys.
That's the slot in the X. Jaden Thomas is from Pace Academy right here in Atlanta, Georgia.
And then they also brought in an FIU wide receiver from the transfer portal this year. He was the leading wide receiver, Chris Mitchell. He's another slot guy. He's 6 foot, 184 pounds, and he's had 64 receptions for 1,118 yards and 7 touchdowns last year for them. After that, it's like, is Deion Colsey going to finally find his way onto the field and be an impactful player for us?
Shout out Athens Academy.
Or is Jordan Faison going to build off of what he did last year? He had 332 receiving yards. So it's not exactly a wide receiver room that has a whole lot of output, a whole lot of history of making big things happen on the football field. Maybe this transfer guy is going to provide a spark. And then it's also you're working in a transfer quarterback in Riley Leonard, who has kind of missed a lot of the spring. So it's that's the only question I really have about it. And it's a big question. I mean, offensive output of this is an offensive style of football game in college football now. So it's a big question that they need to answer.
You know,
now,
what the, you know what the, sorry.
No, you're good.
I just have this thought, and I've had it all day today. And I'm not saying that they're going to go on some kind of run, right? But this is a football team right now that is built ball out, right? Mm-hmm. They're built on the lines of scrimmage. They play historically good defense. They have a football coach with a tremendous amount of energy and charisma that is recruiting at a top five level, you know, relatively perennially. Now, they've just cracked it. It seems like they're going to hold that. They're in the top five, I think third overall in the consensus rankings right now in the 2025 class. But they have zero offensive, like, a consistency explosively outside weaponry-wise. Like, mm-hmm. when you look at them from a wide receiver and tight end standpoint, tight end not so much. Recently, they've had a bunch of guys. But from a wide receiver standpoint, they look like 2017, 18, and 19 Georgia football. That's what they look like to mm-hmm. me. Where, dude, you're going to win a lot of your football games, and you're going to physically manhandle a lot of your opponents. And then when you get into football games where you got to win against a good defense and a good offense, like 35-34, it's going to look ugly, and you're going to lose 35-14. That's what Notre Dame feels like to me right now. That's what their roster looks like to me. And whether or not Riley Leonard is some NFL football player, I think we would have found – well, he was really banged up last year. But
really banged up.
He could be great. He could look – but they don't have a lot. Like, no. Even the guys you mentioned in terms of returners, like – the Jaden Thomas has been a very touch-and-go football player for them throughout his career. They need him to be a dominant NFL caliber X to be a college football playoff contender, in my opinion. They got to find it somewhere on the roster. They're taking stabs at some retreads too, like Bo Collins from Clemson. Mm-hmm. Like that's a we hope we can fix them type stuff, and we're doing that because we need the fix ourselves. Like that screams, you know, we need help at a desperate position where, you know, we have a hole. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily buy until that happens, but they are going to handle that schedule. I promise
they
you
better.
Right now. Be prepared.
They better handle that schedule. Like, if you don't, I think you start to start talking about, like, is Marcus Freeman the answer?
You recruit like this, you're going to get a run. I'm telling you. And I think with the you got to be very careful. As a, Notre Dame, for those of you who don't know, just had a like a 17-year athletic director retire. So I don't know if they're going to be like ready to be rushing to make any drastic changes. You could also say the theory of, well, new AD wants some new blood in there. Maybe he wants his own guy, that kind of thing. I don't know if they inward promoted. I'm not out here tracking the AD hirings. But that being said, I would be very, very cautious about willy-nilly changing coaches right now with the state of college football. I think there's a very strong possibility that the ground beneath us, and I'm not talking about shakes, I'm just talking about gets blown up and we start anew, right? We put a bubble around the college football sport and we just blow up its surface and we put it on wheels and just roll it over to something new, you know, relatively soon. And in that situation, I would not be wanting to turn over a coaching staff.
No, I agree with that.
But if you got a guy that you feel decent about, you hold on to him right now.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you don't, if he doesn't perform to this level, you have to start asking, like, is he the answer? Not saying you move on from him, especially the way college football is moving as rapidly as it is, but you have to at least go, like, is this the guy that's going to win us a championship within the next 3 years?
Do you think them remaining independent helps them in this expanded playoff a lot?
I think when it went to 12, it helped them because how are you not going to rank Notre Dame inside the top 12?
Yeah. Right.
But I think it hurt them in the sense that with all of the additional conference games being added to a lot of these schedules, you know, the SEC eventually most likely going to 9, the Big Ten already at 9. I think the Big 12 is moving to 9. The ACC probably moving to 9. With all of these additional conference games, you're going to have a lot of teams that are like, dude, F you. I just got Clemson added on my schedule. I am not picking up a Notre Dame out of conference game. Like, you can piss off. So in 5 years from now, as an independent, does their schedule look like a bunch of non-Power 4 members? And in that case, they better get their ass into a conference. But I think what really – they have all the leverage in the world in the sense that no matter what happens, they're going to be a wanted commodity. They will be a product that people want to buy. So the moment they want to play ball, they'll get bought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it definitely does benefit them for this year specifically, knowing what their schedule is. And that's just a benefit of, you know, Florida State is probably going to have a down year. USC, we'll talk about them in a second with Miller Moss. But, I mean, it's just a whole, like, Texas A&M, that's your opening game. Mike Elko's out there for his first year. Like, that's a team that's going to have to.
Home game?
I believe it's actually on the road. Yeah, it's at College Station.
Okay, that's a little tougher.
Opening weekend, 12th man might be getting a little rowdy, you know, so that might get a little interesting. But then after that, I mean, you got Northern Illinois, Purdue, Miami of Ohio before you even play Louisville, and that's going to be your that's going to be at home as well. So I think they have a lot of things on their side as far as the schedule goes. So this year specifically, with the window of having Riley or Leonard this year and just kind of hoping and praying that one of your wide receivers builds into something special, maybe they can get a connection going with Leonard, then maybe you can turn yourself into a playoff team. Maybe that sparks a run for Marcus Freeman and them.
They will go as the weapons go. I mean, what does their running back depth even look like? I know they lost Estime this past offseason. I'm seeing Jeremiah Love's a redshirt freshman that Georgia was heavy in on, but I don't know if you're going to give Jeremiah Love 20 totes. I don't know how much bigger Jeremiah Love's gotten. When he was coming out of high school, he looked like he's about a buck 85. And then I don't know much about Jadarian Price. I'm not going to sit here and give you an eval on that one. But there are some losses, right? You obviously got to replace Joe Alt out there, left tackle as well. All right, let's talk about this Miller Moss article, I guess, before we – so we're going to close with some USC talk here, it looks like.
Back to back.
I want to say this first and foremost. Do y'all remember watching the Miami shows?
Like
when I was in Miami by myself doing shows from the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You remember what I said about my prediction for their bowl game?
What, the Miller Moss?
Bro, I called him Mid Moss. I didn't even call him Miller. I called him Mid Moss.
You called him that for a while.
Yeah, because I remember it in high school. I didn't understand how Miller Moss was going to USC. I guess I didn't get the Moxie eval on that one. I didn't get the Gamer eval on that one. Maybe that was a guy you had to go watch play on a Friday night, and him being West Coast, I didn't see it. But I guess that's a rule and a lesson on not to have too strong of a disliking opinion when you go out to situations like that. But you know, it was one game. Well, first and foremost,
but played one game.
Nonetheless, I did not. It was like 450 guys. It wasn't just one game. It was like holy shit, one game. Right. It was enough to have Lincoln Riley out here thinking that, you know, this is going to be my guy. See you, Malachi Nelson. We'll talk to you later. All right, we're riding the Miller Moss show in 2024. Like, that's a stamp of approval if you'll ever get one.
Yeah, that was one of the bigger takeaways that I had from the article. Is there's a snippet in there of Lincoln Riley telling Miller Moss, like, we're going to go into the portal, but we're not getting a guy that is going to come in here and necessarily compete with you. We're not getting an older guy from the portal. We're going to get someone younger. We're going to build some of the depth. Like, we want you to be the guy moving forward. And Lincoln Riley has a tremendous track record with QBs. So if he's getting that stamp of approval from him, and like Lincoln Riley has confidence going into this season with Miller Moss, I think that there's should be some acceptance and like, whoa, like Miller Moss might be one of these dudes next year. Maybe he is one of these guys that just kind of flies up the charts because he has a successful season with USC this season.
I mean, obviously you trust Lincoln Riley's ability to coach quarterbacks. I think he's the best one in college football. I'm hesitant to jump on this Miller Moss hype train just yet. Yeah, I had a really good bowl game, but I think that you can't, I don't want to buy into everything that they're selling just off one game.
I'll tell you one thing I did love from this article as well, specifically about Miller Moss, is that his mom and dad were mentioned in this article multiple times, quotes from them. And what they continued to mention about him was how obsessive he is about things.
Yeah.
And football became one of these things that he became obsessive with. Like, they talked about having all kinds of books about space and Greek gods and like anything that he was attached to. Like, they just like flooded it in and he became very obsessive with. And obsessive is a great trait to have if you want to be successful. And plus the fact too, this is a guy that stuck around. He's been under Caleb Williams, and he's kind of just stayed put. He thought about leaving, but he wanted to stay put with USC. He loves USC. Been in the system now for multiple years. Like, I think he is set up for success.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
Has Lincoln Riley ever had a bad quarterback?
Spencer Rattler in 21 wasn't very good.
It was
good.
A bad offensive line, I would argue.
That's fine.
And a bad run game. They were impossible to move the football, so much so that they almost had to put Caleb Williams in just to run the ball. To give it, like, to take account for a hat, essentially.
Then in his head coaching tenure, no, he's never had a bad quarterback.
I'm just saying, like, it's one of those systems that, like, and even people who even do the does Lincoln's quarterbacks work on the NFL level, I would argue it hasn't been that bad, you know? Like, Jalen Hurts has worked out. Baker Mayfield's gotten his second contract. Kyler Murray got his second contract. Like, these aren't flat duds coming out of his system.
No.
So, I don't think he's ever made a bad decision at the quarterback position.
I agree.
So, we'll see. That was why it was so alarming, I think, for the college football world when he just, like, I had Malachi Nelson for 10 months and he can get out of here. Like, we're good. He can just walk to the portal. We're fine.
Yeah.
You didn't see any other major program sniff on that one, so much so that he's at Boise State now.
No, I guess, and I guess this is probably the Lincoln Riley aspect of it too, is that how much hype are we putting into Miller Moss? Are we putting the Caleb Williams ceiling on him? Are we putting a Kyler Murray, a Baker Mayfield, like a Heisman contender ceiling on him? Or is it going to be, he's going to be a very, very solid quarterback in college? Because I agree with that.
What I'm saying is I think it's almost impossible to be statistically bad as USC's quarterback. I think Miller Moss baseline floor will be 3,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, and maybe 10 interceptions, whatever. That's like as bad as you will look as a starter in that offense. That's just the way it goes. In my opinion. I mean, again, he's never now, granted, he's had really talented guys, but he's never, like, this is probably the least talented quarterback he's ever entered a season with. I think we can say that. But he's never had a bad one. So
I mean, he even had good quarterback play at East Carolina when he was there. Also, just found out Kurt Benkert played there for him for 2 years. So, I mean, it's a track record that goes back to his days as an OC. I mean, he has consistently had good quarterback play, or at least he has been able to find ways to make his quarterbacks play well and put up good numbers and for him to have success offensively. So I see no reason why he can't do that with Miller Moss and Zachariah Branch this season. I mean, that's a duo that you would probably bet on again in most matchups this season.
Need a lot of growth and development from Deuce Robinson if that offense is going to maximize what it can be. So there's that. All right, last segment here on the National Hour, and it looks like we're going to be running a little fast tonight on the show topics. It's not the end of the world there. Let's get these. So last night we talked about Caleb Williams' weird-ass interview with Pivot and Ryan Clark, and today on Pablo Torre Finds Out on the Dan Lebtard and Friends Network, there were some quotes released from a former NFL scout. This is him. These are quotes from a former NFL scout talking to people who are still very, very connected and are connected actively with NFL football teams. Quote, "He scares the shit out of me and out of a lot of NFL teams too. The book on him is that he's kind of a weird kid," one GM told me. "It's like if Prince played quarterback."
It's a good thing he doesn't play basketball.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good Dave Chappelle shout right there. Prince?
Yeah, that was a weird comp.
I get it, though.
Why? Because he paints his fingernails?
No, it's just like he's such an obscure personality that you look at him and you're like, what is this? Is this swagger? Do I like this? Do I hate this? Like, that's what it is. And he's talented at what he does. Like, there's no denying Prince's talent, but like, Prince as a personality could very well rub you the wrong way and be like, who is that?
I don't know. I feel like Prince has this aura about him that everybody who's ever met him knows, like, talks of him as he is this outer earthly being. I don't get that from Caleb. I get people thinking that people's impression of Caleb is that he thinks he's that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is that. He thinks he's that.
That's for sure.
So maybe the quote should be he thinks he's Prince, not he is Prince at the quarterback position. However, everything I've been around and seen of Caleb, if I threw the football like that, you couldn't tell me shit.
Yeah, ever.
If I could do what that dude did on the football field, you could never tell me a word. Period.
You'd be insufferable if you had Caleb
Very much so. Very much so. If I had Caleb Williams' talent, I would be 1,000% insufferable.
Hmm. I mean, you're sitting here telling everyone you're better than Aaron Murray.
Yeah. I'm sitting right here telling people I can throw the football better than Aaron Murray, because I can't.
Imagine if you had Caleb Williams' talent now.
If I had a 1% chooch instead of a 2%er.
Lord.
It'd be crazy. Another quote for you. "I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion." This is on him crying. "Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing? That was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags." Crying about the game of football at the end of your career. Red flag, apparently.
Well, here's the thing.
NFL scout.
Here's the thing.
First of all, guarantee you over under on that dude's age, 68. Guaranteed fucking teed that dude's old.
But he said red flag. We think a 68-year-old knows what red flag means?
For sure. They've been playing red flags forever.
I feel like that's more of like a newer term, though, that's kind of resurfaced.
That's fine. Here's my thing on the Caleb Williams, the crying thing that I think it was so interesting. It was like game 7 of the regular season.
That's what it said. You just lost a game in the middle of your effing season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms. Jeez. And it just seems really freaking weird and nuts. This guy does not like Caleb Williams.
No, but I do understand where he's coming from, not from as opinionated spot as that. Like, it looked very weird to go into your mom's arms and cry. Now, I understand if this is his last game ever. He just lost. He's never going to play another snap of college football. Or, you know, this was the national championship game. He was so close to having it all. Having it as your second or third loss of the season, it was like, what made that so important to you? Again, and it goes back to what I said yesterday, where so many of the things he does and so many of his actions and what he says to me feel disingenuous. Mm. Now, I'm sure that he was very upset, and I'm sure that he legitimately was crying, but I also feel like there was a part of him that knew that there were going to be cameras on him and knew that there was going to get a reaction to that.
Look, I'm with the chat in a sense and in a way here. Hunter Lacey says, "It's not that he cried, it's how he cried in his mom's arms on camera." Look, football players got to thug it out. Like, you got to cry with the lip bit, like one of those, and just let like one roll out the crack of your eye.
Like the Denzel tear.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, just a real professional man cry. That is almost like a No-Shawn cry. You know, No-Shawn's the epitome of this.
Tears.
Where you just hit one eye flash, one little blink, and it's like, boom, Niagara Falls out of man's eye. But not a single crack in the face. Jumping, doing the Lambo leap into mommy's arms. Doing the Lambo leap into mommy's arm is a little bit much. Yeah, if you've ever seen a real moment in the life, like that dude's about to cry, but he continues to like be a gangster about it and just lets one roll. Ooh, that'll give you goosies.
Yeah.
Do you think my high school captain quarterback Cantrell Frazier let one out at team camp one time where he was, you know, and that was it.
I know that NFL viewership is like very incomparable to college football. Do you think that they might, like the Chicago Bears might see an uptick in their viewership this year? Because like much like last year, everybody was hate watching Colorado at the beginning of the last year because everybody wanted to watch them lose. It's the reason why now the Colorado State game was a great football game in of its own, but people were wanting Colorado to lose that game. And that's why so many people were watching. Do you think that the Bears are going to see this because so many people are going to hate watch Caleb Williams for and just sure. hope that it burns out and fails?
For sure. I mean, I'm sorry to answer your question for you, but like,
what's for everybody?
People like hate watching is one of the most effective ways to it's not even hate watching. I think
some would argue I, you know, might have played its hate watching methods early in my career. You know,
what do you mean?
One of those things. I did, dude, when I first got introduced to the market, people did not like me. At least the you know, not the majority. Obviously, that's not how that works. But there was a tangent of the fan base that was like, you know what? This guy's kind of a douche. Like, I got that word a lot. You were around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I still get it today. Now it's more clown. I get a lot of clown from opposing fan bases that don't watch the show. They just watch the 60-second clip we put out.
But shout out, Learn Football or Die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out, Learn Football or Die. What were we talking about?
I was talking about people hate watching the Bears next year because Caleb Williams happen. Is going to be around. Everybody's just praying on his downfall at this
you
point.
You set yourself up for these things when you do interviews like that and you say things like he said.
Is he already the most hated player in the NFL?
No. No.
Who is? Who's most hated?
Travis Kelce maybe, but Travis Kelce is
also. I know who's the most polarizing.
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers, by far.
That's fair.
I mean, he did say the government planted AIDS, you know, like recently.
That is an interesting thing.
Also almost ran for vice president.
He didn't, though.
Polarizing.
I will say, as a professional quarterback, that's a very interesting thing to say.
it's what I love the, I'm not a doctor nor a specialist, but the government planted AIDS. That's wild. It's a wild thing to say. But anyways, we have a whole other hour coming up right now. We'll see you on the other side.